Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
10 a.m. I went into the kitchen, made myself a bowl of cereal, and carried it into the dining room to eat. If I had my way, I would have taken it back to my room. But my mother would have had a fit if she caught me doing that. Last time I tried, she disconnected my Xbox from the router for an entire weekend. When I entered my room, my little sister, Constance, was already at the table playing with her crayons while she ate her toast. I pulled out my chair and started to sit down. I should have known something was up when Constance stopped what she was doing and started watching me with a sly smile on her face. "What the hell, Constance?" I yelled after I sat on a doll, sending one of its hard plastic limbs into the crack of my ass with enough force to bruise my tailbone. Both Constance and the doll started laughing. I hated that doll. It was hideous and had one of the most annoying voices. If you squeezed different parts of its body, it would say different things. The laugh was generated by squeezing its stomach. I stood up and grabbed the doll off the seat by its legs. "Give it back!" Constance ran over and tried to snatch the doll out of my hand, but I held it over her head, just out of arm's reach. "You want it?" I said, holding the doll out like a football. "Go get it!" I drop-kicked it into the living room. As the doll flew over the sofa, it giggled and said, "Uh-oh, better get a diaper." "Mom, Adam kicked Sally." Say it, Sally was the name of a doll. "Mom, Mom, Mom," I mocked her. "What have I told you about taking a doll away?" Our mother stormed into the dining room. "I didn't take it," I said. "She left it in my chair, so I moved it." "Don't push me, Adam. Go and get a doll." She pointed towards the living room. "But..." "Do it," she said, turning and walking back to the kitchen. That was how she let you know the conversation was over. She would just walk away. Constance stuck her tongue out as I walked by on my way to the living room. I pretended to pick my nose, then reached out to wipe my finger on her tongue. She screamed and ran into the kitchen. "Stupid doll," I said, reaching down to pick it up. But before I did, it said the strangest thing. "No more days will follow for you. There's no tomorrow." It came out of Say It Sally's mouth like a poem, but the words seemed like they were cobbled together from different phrases the doll typically says. I grabbed the doll by its hair and carried it into the kitchen, where I dropped it off on the floor in front of Constance, who was telling Mother that I tried to make her eat a booger. "Keep your creepy doll away from me," I said, leaving the room to go eat my cereal. 12 p.m. "I need you to keep an eye on Constance while I run to the store," my mother called out as she walked down the hall. I was sitting at my desk playing on my laptop. "Did you hear me?" She stopped in my doorway. "I heard you," I snapped back. She glared at me for a moment, then stormed into my room and pulled something out from underneath my bed. "I thought I told you to leave a doll alone," she said, holding up Say It Sally for me to see. "I didn't put it there," I protested. "Constance probably put it there to get me in trouble." "I don't have time for this," she said, walking out of the room with the doll. "Just leave it alone." 1 p.m. "Mommy said you have to play with me while she's gone." Constance walked into my room, hugging her ugly doll. "No, she didn't. Now get out," I pointed towards the door. "If you don't play with me, I'll tell Mommy about the nudie magazines under your bed." "What?" I said, momentarily confused by how she knew about the magazines. A friend of mine stole them from his older brother and gave them to me. I kept them with my comic books in a box under my bed. "Have you been going through my things?" I stood up and approached her. "No," she said, holding a doll out towards me. "Sally told me." I grabbed Constance by the shoulders, turned her around, and marched her out of my room. She also said to tell you a poem, but I can't remember it. I do remember that it ended with, "There's no tomorrow." I slammed the door in her face and locked it. "What does that mean?" Constance's muffled voice came through the door. "She's never said a poem before." I ignored her and got down on my hands and knees to look under my bed. As I tried to locate my box of comics, the one with the magazines in it, something else caught my eye among the clutter. It was a small piece of silvery plastic, about 3 inches long. I didn't recognize it at first, so I reached under the bed and pulled it out. "What the hell?" I said, holding up the little plastic knife that had been sharpened to a point. I recognized it as one of the toy utensils that came with my sister's play kitchen. I walked back over to the door, unlocked it and swung it open. I was going to confront my sister and ask her where the little knife had come from. But I changed my mind when I saw Say It Sally sitting on the floor across the hall from my room. "I will feel no sorrow for you. There's no tomorrow," Sally said. I kicked the doll down the hall and into the living room. I wasn't afraid of it. It was just a toy. If it wanted to keep threatening me, I was going to respond in kind. "Have you seen Sally?" Constance asked, peeking her head out of a room. "Nope," I replied. "If she knows what's good for her, she probably left," I added, returning to my room and shutting my door. 2 PM. I found this under my bed. I held the toy knife in the palm of my hand so my mother could see it. "So," she said, "I remember you doing something similar with one of your plastic army knives when you were younger. I only did that because you wouldn't let Dad buy me a real one. Maybe she was just trying to make it more functional. You know how much she loves having tea parties and cutting up donuts like they're real cakes. I'm sure it's nothing." "Nothing," I scoffed. "This thing's razor sharp." I held it up like I would a real knife. "And why was it under my bed?" "I'll talk to her," my mother said, pulling the knife out of my hand and setting it on the counter. "Whatever." I threw my hands up and turned to leave. I knew Constance wouldn't get in trouble. As I tried to walk out of the kitchen, something caught on my foot and almost sent me tumbling face first into the counter of the granite countertop. If I hadn't flung my arms out before me and caught myself, I would have been killed. "Are you going to talk to her about that too?" I said, kicking Say It Sally across the floor. That stupid doll is what I had tripped over. "Every time I turn around, that stupid doll is in my way," I complained. "I'll talk to her," my mother said, walking over to retrieve Sally. "But if you kick or throw this doll one more time..." She pointed Sally at me as she gave a warning and didn't have to finish what she was thinking. I knew what her favourite punishments were. 2:30 PM. "I'm sorry," Constance huffed from the doorway to my room. "No, you're not." It was obvious from her tone that she was only apologizing because my mother made her. "You're right, I'm not, because I didn't do it." "You didn't do what?" I wanted to find out what my mother had told her. She had a history of going easy on Constance. "I didn't make that knife, and I didn't leave Sally on the floor. I shouldn't have to apologize." "Let me guess, Sally did it all by herself, right?" "She did," Constance yelled. "She was only trying to help." "Whatever." I got up and crossed the room to shut the door. "Apology not accepted. And for the last time, keep your doll away from me or else." "Or else what?" "Or else I'm going to pull off her arms and legs and feed them to the neighbor's dog. Now move so I can close the door." "I'm telling Mom." "Go ahead," I said, shutting the door in her face. I could hear her repeated cries of "Mom" as she ran down the hall to tattle on me. I didn't care. 4 PM. The sound of a piece of paper being slid under the bedroom door caught my attention. I got up from my desk and went over to pick it up. There was a handwritten note in red crayon that said, no days will follow for you. There's no tomorrow. I recognized my sister's handwriting. I reached out and grabbed the handle to the door, intending to show my mother the note, but stopped myself. Knowing her, she would just dismiss it and tell me to grow up and stop acting like a toddler. It wasn't worth the hassle. I crumpled the note up in my hand and tossed it into the wastebasket that was sitting next to the desk. I had something else in mind to get even with my sister and Sally. 4:15 p.m. When I saw Constance pass by my room on her way down the hall, I got up to see where she was going. I had opened my door so I could keep tabs on her while I was waiting for the perfect time to enact my plan. It's now or never. I crept down the hall and into Constance's room after I saw her step into the bathroom and close the door. While I was in her room, I grabbed the Sally doll from where it was sitting at the tea party table and the jump rope which was tied around a bedpost. Then I got to work. When I was finished, another idea occurred to me, so I ran down the hall to my room. Once I grabbed what I needed, I returned to Constance's room and added it as a final touch. Perfect. I admired my handiwork for a moment before leaving. I finished just in time too. Constance walked out of the bathroom right as I walked back into my room. I knew I was going to get into trouble for what I had done, but it was worth it. 4:25 p.m. Mom! I couldn't help but smile when I heard Constance yell, but my joy was short-lived. When her screams became sobs, I suddenly felt like the biggest jerk in the world. I was okay with making her mad, not with making her cry. From the way she was wailing, you'd think I really killed a doll. What the hell is wrong with you? My mother came into my room, holding the said Sally doll up by the jump rope noose I'd strung her up with. Still taped to her dress was the altered note that now said, "No days will follow for me, there's no tomorrow." I couldn't look her in the eyes. "Answer me, why did you do something like this?" She raised the fist that was clutching the rope, making Sally sway. "It was a joke," I replied, looking at the posters on my wall. "This was not a joke." She removed the noose and note before tossing Sally onto my bed. "Go in there and apologize to her." She pointed towards Constance's room. I stood up and snatched the doll off my bed, which triggered her giggle. "You'll be lucky if I don't tell your father about this when he gets back," my mother's voice carried down the hall as I knocked on my sister's door. She was watching me from the doorway. "Go away," Constance yelled. "I hate you." I turned and looked at my mother while gesturing at the door. How did she expect me to apologize to Constance if she was going to overreact like that? She just folded her arms over her chest and cocked her head to the side, letting me know I wasn't getting out of it. "If you don't open the door, Sally's going to be lonely out here all by herself." She didn't answer, but I could hear her get off the bed and walk across the room. When she opened the door, I held Sally out to her and apologized. "I still hate you." Constance snatched the doll out of my hand and slammed the door in my face. "Was that good enough?" I asked my mother as I returned to my room. "Almost," she said, walking over to my desk and unplugging my laptop. "What are you doing?" I complained. "I apologize like you told me to." "That wasn't your punishment. This is." She walked out of the room carrying my laptop. "When do I get it back?" "Whenever I decide to give it back," she called out from the hallway. 6 p.m. "What's for dinner?" I called out from the couch. I heard my mum in the kitchen and assumed she was getting ready to make us something to eat. Since she took my laptop away, I had spent the past hour watching television and was starting to get hungry. "You're going to have to fend for yourself," she replied, leaning out of the kitchen. "I'm taking Constance to the movies." "What?" I picked up the remote and paused the show I was watching. "Why does she get to go to the movies? That doesn't seem fair." "It doesn't matter what you think. After the stunt you pulled, you're lucky I'm letting you watch TV. Can I at least have my laptop back before you leave?" I stood up and started to walk towards her as she turned around and went back into the kitchen. I made it a few steps before I tripped over something. I was walking too fast to stop myself from falling, but I did manage to catch myself before planting my face into the carpet. When I looked back to see what I tripped over, I wasn't surprised to see Constance say it's Sally doll sticking out from beneath the couch. What was that? The sudden clatter of me bumping into the end table as I fell brought my mother back into the room. Are you okay? She asked when she saw me getting up off the floor. No, I'm not okay. I reached down and snatched Sally out from underneath the couch. I'm tired of seeing this damn doll every time I turn around. I swear it's trying to kill me. Adam, language. My mom yelled at me. If you don't want me to talk like that, then keep this damn thing away from me. I threw the doll at her feet and stormed off to my room, slamming the door to make my point. 7 p.m. We're leaving now, my mother said, knocking on the bedroom door to get my attention. I didn't answer. I left you some money on the counter if you want to order pizza. We should be home sometime after 9. There was a brief pause before she spoke again. Did you hear me, Adam? I heard you, I replied, not bothering to put down the comic I was reading. I waited until I heard the front door close before I got up and went into the kitchen to see how much money my mother had left me. I was surprised when I saw the $20 bill held in place by the cookie jar on the counter. It wasn't like her to leave me money when she went out. She must have decided to take pity on me after I tripped and almost killed myself in the living room. I pulled the bill free and stuffed it into my pocket. I hadn't decided if I was hungry enough for a pizza or if I wanted to save the money for something else. My computer was the thing I wanted most of all at that moment, so I went searching for it. It wasn't anywhere in the kitchen. I didn't think it would be, but since I was already in the room, I figured I'd search it first. After that, I looked in the living room and the laundry room. I even checked the bathroom. When I didn't find it in my parents' bedroom, I started to think my mom might have taken the computer with her. But that wouldn't be like her. I'm sure it was somewhere in the house. I just needed to figure out where. 7:30 p.m. I returned to my room when I couldn't find my computer. As I lay in my bed, staring at the ceiling, I tried to think like my mother. Where would I hide it if I were her? I already checked all of the obvious places. When she took it, she was mad at me because of what I did to Constance Say It Sally doll. She wouldn't. I sat up as the perfect hiding place came to mind. The more I thought about it, the more it made sense. I left my room and walked down the hall to Constance's room. Very funny, Mom, I said, swinging the door open to find my laptop on Constance's bed with Say It Sally sitting on top of it. Before I could walk across the room and grab the computer, the phone in the kitchen started ringing. The laptop wasn't going anywhere, so I went and answered the phone. Hello, I said. Hey, Adam, it's Mom. Can you do me a favor and see if Constance left a doll at the house? I could have sworn she brought it with her, but it's not in the car. Yeah, it's here, I answered snidely. Right where you left it, sitting on top of my laptop where you hid it in Constance's room. What are you talking about? I didn't hide your laptop in Constance's room. I put it under the sink in the kitchen. I would never hide anything of yours in her room. Well, that's not where I found it. I don't know what you're playing at, Adam, but I don't have time for this. The movie's about to start, she said to me. She must have covered the phone, because when she spoke again, her voice sounded muffled and far away. But I could still understand what she was saying to Constance. Adam said you left Sally in your room. I didn't leave her in my room. I brought her with us. I remember sitting on the seat next to me and putting on a seatbelt. Constance's voice was much louder than my mother's. Well, that's where she is, she said to Constance. I could hear her remove her hand from the phone before she spoke again. In the background, Constance was yelling, trying to get her mother to believe that the doll was in the car. I have to go, she said to me, and stay out of Constance's room. She didn't give me any time to reply before she hung up. I would gladly stay out of my sister's room, right after I got my laptop back. The doll and the computer were still on the bed when I walked back into Constance's room. Part of me expected them both to be gone after the day I've been having. "I will feel no sorrow for you. There's no tomorrow," Sally said as I leaned down and slid the computer out from underneath her. "Screw you," I replied, knocking the doll onto the floor with the back of my hand. When Sally landed on the floor, something fell out of her dress. I leaned across the bed to get a better look at the object she had dropped. It was the little plastic knife that had been sharpened. I stared at the toy knife, thinking that my little sister was a psycho for sharpening it and placing it in Sally's dress. Why does she need a knife? I seriously considered picking it up and shoving it through the forehead of that ugly little doll, but I knew that would make me look even crazier than Constance. Plus, I'd get in way more trouble. I decided to leave the doll and the knife where they fell and let my mother deal with it. I was about to grab my computer and leave, but a sudden noise stopped me. It sounded like someone had dropped a glass in the kitchen, but no one else was in the house with me. I walked over to the doorway and leaned my head out enough to peek down the hall. When I saw a hand reaching through the broken pane of glass of the back door to unlock it, I knew I was in serious trouble. Someone was breaking in. I quickly retreated into the safety of the room as I began to panic. I was alone in the house and the only phone was in the kitchen. There was no way I could make it there and back without being seen. I need to hide. Constance's room wasn't very big, so there weren't many options. If the huge iron frame of a bed wasn't blocking the window, I would have escaped that way, but there was no way to get to it without making a bunch of noise. I was running out of time, and I didn't know what else to do, so I crawled under the bed, pushing stuffed animals out of my way. I positioned myself so I could look out into the hallway from under the bed. I wanted to be able to track the intruder's movements as much as possible. If an opportunity to get out of the house arose, I wanted to be ready to take it, assuming I could overcome my fear and anxiety. When I heard footsteps out in the hall, I turned my head towards a closet, wondering if it would have been a better option to hide there. But my view was blocked by the Say It Sally doll, her stupid plastic grin mocking the predicament I was in. "I will feel no sorrow for you. There's no tomorrow." Sally's voice was deafening in the quiet confines of my hiding place. "No, no, no." I prayed the person walking down the hall hadn't heard the doll, but I wasn't that lucky. When I turned and looked back towards the doorway, I saw a pair of scuffed up work boots pointing in my direction. "Jackpot," the man said, taking a step into the room. I didn't know what he was talking about, until I remembered I had left my laptop sitting on Constance's bed like an idiot. "Aren't you a creepy little bugger?" the intruder said, nudging Sally with the tip of his boot, causing her to roll over and face the ceiling. "Was that you who was talking?" He lifted his foot and placed the sole of his boot on the doll's head. "I will feel no sorrow for you. There's no tomorrow," Sally said, but then she started laughing. Every time she said that phrase to me, she didn't say or do anything else. The laugh was something new, and there was nothing funny about it. Hearing it gave me goosebumps. "Screw you," he said, stepping on Sally's soft plastic head, deforming it. But that didn't stop her from laughing. The sound must have bothered him as much as it bothered me, because he pulled his leg back and kicked her under the bed and right into my face. I couldn't stop myself from grunting when the hard plastic of Sally's arm connected with my cheek. I froze, hoping the sound wasn't loud enough to be heard. "Looks like I found me a stowaway." The man's face came to view as he peered under the bed. He smiled, flashing his yellow teeth at me. "Get out here." His smile disappeared as quickly as it came. Every instinct told me to run. So, that's what I did. I grabbed Sally and slammed her into the man's face with as much force as I could muster. There was a loud popping sound as the doll connected with his nose. The stranger moved away, covering his nose with his hands, I used that opportunity to slide out from underneath the bed, hoping to make it to the door before he recovered. I didn't get very far. "You shouldn't have done that." The warning was followed by the familiar sound of a gun being cocked. "Stand up," he commanded. I did as I was told, turning to face him while holding my hands up. I must have hit him extremely hard because he was pinching his nose closed with one hand, trying to keep any more blood from leaking out. With his other hand, he pointed a small silver revolver at me. "Get over here," he motioned at me with the gun. I walked over and stood in front of him, trying to avoid eye contact with him. "Turn around and get on your knees." "He's going to shoot me." My brief life flashed before my eyes. I thought of all the things I wouldn't get to do, all the people I'd never get to see again. I didn't want to die. Not like this. "I'm sorry," I stammered. "Take anything you want. Please don't shoot me." Tears streamed down my face as I turned around and started to get down on my knees. "Does the little baby need his dolly?" he mocked me in a childlike voice. I looked down at Sally, laying on her back where she had fallen after I'd used her to smack the man in the face. It would figure that the last thing I would see before I died would be hers. She was the reason this happened. I wouldn't have been home alone if the doll hadn't been messing with me all day. She must have somehow known this was going to happen and set it all up. Did she just wink at me? The tears in my eyes must have been playing tricks on me. Sally has never winked before. I wiped the back of my hand across my eyes, then looked back down at the doll. She winked again. There was no denying it the second time. As I stared at her, my face a mask of confusion, her head rolled to the side. What the hell was going on? What was she trying to tell me? That's when I saw the little plastic knife clutched in her outstretched hand, the one that had been sharpened. That was when her plan became clear to me. Sally wasn't trying to get me killed, at least not directly. Everything she had done was part of a carefully calculated plan to get my mother and sister out of the house. That was why she kept antagonizing me. She wanted to escalate things between Constance and me, knowing that my mom would take her out of the house and they'd be safe. I don't know how or why, but Sally knew someone was going to break into the house. She must have also known that I'd be the one to confront him. Looking at Sally, her head pointed towards her outstretched arm, made me realize the knife was intended for me. "Hurry up!" The intruder pushed the barrel of the gun against the back of my head. Once I was on my knees, I leaned forward, shielding Sally from the intruder's view as I retrieved the knife from her hand. When I leaned back, I picked her up and cradled her in my arms. "I hope this works," I whispered into her hair. "See you tomorrow," she replied. "I hope that's not your doll," the intruder said. "So what if it's mine?" I tightened my grip on the toy knife, praying it was sharp enough. "You're right, it doesn't matter." I could feel the tension in the air as he readied to pull the trigger. "I'm sorry," I said. "You should be. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the doll." I whirled around, standing up in the process. I swung Sally out before me, using her body to knock the gun away as I lashed out with a toy knife. The muzzle of the gun flashed at the same moment Sally collided with the intruder's hand. I felt the bullet burrow its way into my shoulder as it knocked me backwards, but all of that happened after my knife nicked the soft flesh of the man's throat. I didn't feel any pain until I hit the floor. It felt like someone had jammed a hot ice pack through my shoulder. The intensity of the pain was making it hard to breathe. I could feel my vision dim as I tried to calm myself down enough to leave the room. It wasn't until I was able to get myself into a crawling position that I saw the intruder lying on the floor, gasping for air as he bled out from the hole I had made in his neck. When he saw me looking at him, he reached out his hand to me. The sight of all that blood made me feel lightheaded, or maybe it was all of the blood I had already lost. When I tried to stand, I couldn't keep my legs under me. I was able to take two steps towards the hole before I collapsed and let oblivion claim me. the next day. When I opened my eyes, the bright and blurry surroundings were unfamiliar. I tried to sit up, but someone stopped me. "Try to lie still," the nurse said, her features slowly coming into focus. "Where am I?" "You're in the hospital," she replied. I was about to ask her what happened, but then the events of the previous night flooded my mind. The machine next to me started beeping faster, picking up my elevated heart rate. "I was shot," I said to her. "Yes, you were, but you're okay now," the nurse said, placing a hand gently on my arm. "I'm going to get the doctor. In the meantime, there's someone here to see you." The nurse walked over to the door, opened it, and then waved someone over. I wasn't surprised when Constance walked in, carrying her Say It Sally doll, followed by my mother. "I'm sorry," Constance said, hugging Sally. "For what?" "I'm sorry you got hurt." I could see tears forming in her eyes. "It's not your fault," I said. "Actually, if it wasn't for your doll, I might have gotten hurt a lot worse. Sally saved me."
"Sally saved you?"
"She did. And she saved you and Mom."